Three smarts.
Think you've got them? Find out now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Niche Podcast about the one thing I know something about: game shows. I suppose I'm your host, Jordan Haas, and this is a fun episode. I've always wanted to talk about this show with a guest, and it just never really came to fruition. But you know what? That's okay. Because you know something? It is one of those forgotten, under the radar game shows that I think still kind of holds a place in that 2000s vibe that we kind of forgot about. And it's a game show called Street Smarts. Now, I know it's often forgotten. Now, the original show debuted in the year 2000. And it made its end in 2005. So it's one of those really early game shows. The first three seasons were from Telepictures, last two Warner Brothers. And it is an Entertain the Brutes production before it just became full-on Telepictures. So if you've never seen the show before, and I don't blame you if you haven't, essentially, you know jaywalking, you know all those fun, silly man-on-the-street interviews where the people on the street say dumb things and all that silly. like a jaywalking or what Howard Stern used to do. That was essentially what was the game show. So the idea was it's field reporters, like a Clue crew, would go across the country and have a special guest be the star. And the idea was going to be three comedians and a field reporter and then a main center host. The field reporters would ask questions and interact with the guests, be all silly, wacky things. Unfortunately, apparently all of them kind of sucked in the audition process of asking questions and being silly. So it didn't really work out except for one person, a guy by the name of Frank Nicotero. So now, folks, it's the Frank Nicotero Appreciation Podcast Hour. Frank Nicotero, when he originally signed on to do the show, was signed on as a field reporter. His whole idea was going to be going to Vegas and interviewing people, and that was it. Because at the time, he was a game show guy. He was working on things like, you guessed it, Peer Pressure, and other game shows when they needed a warm-up. Frank Nicotero was a comedian, and he was just trying to work his comedian stuff, and he loves game shows. So he merged the two together to do Street Smarts, not expecting anything to come from it. However, this audition of being a field reporter kind of became, well, no, now the show's just going to revolve around you, and you'll be the one doing the field reports and being the center host. So he went from being like a secondary character in the idea process to being the full-on host. So if you're wondering, how did Frank Nicotero do it? Dumb luck, as it turns out. Also, everyone else sucked. So it's an interesting game show format. It's questions asked by people on the street, and people in the studio have to predict whether they got it right or wrong in different rounds. Typically, each of the rounds have three questions, and if you get it right or wrong, that's it. So, what happens is Frank Nicotero enters the room. Hey, everyone, welcome to Free Smarts. I ask people across the country all various questions. It's up to our two in-house in-studio contestants to figure out who knew it and who blew it. In round one, we are introduced to all three of our street smarts. The people in these video packages are called the street savants. So for the sake of the rest of the episode, we're going to just be calling them the savants. And we're going to call the contestants the main two who are playing this game. So are you ready? There are three savants, all of them in their respective hometowns or partying or vacationing, think New Orleans. This was a college-age game show that was trying to pair up with sex wars at the time. Because it turns out, and this is just crazy, back in the early 2000s, there wasn't a lot of college-age game shows out there. And this had a really predominantly college-age audience. I can't see why that was, because of a lot of drunk people. So in between, at least here, where it was on at like 1 a.m., you would see Street Smarts, and then immediately following that, a Girls Gone Wild infomercial. So it's funny going like, Baton Rouge's in what U.S. state? Followed by, it's the most outrageous girls. You wouldn't believe what they'll do with a banana. I could. I could believe what they do with a banana. I used to illegally download it through Kazaa. So anyway, the two contestants are playing four different rounds of games because this is a half-hour game show and rightfully structured because it's three questions per round, basically, except for the final where it's just one. So in round one, it's called Who Knew It? And each of the contestants will be given the question, a trivia question, and these are always simple questions. And all they have to do is, using either the rotating wheel in season one or with a lock-in device in later seasons, which I think is one of the coolest set pieces because it looks like a car, they would lock in which of the three savants got an answer right. They lock in the two answers, or if it's the same, the one person. And we cut to the video. Whatever is the locked-in choice is the one they go with. And then it cuts to Frank Nicotero asking the question previously. So, Baton Rouge is and was the... That is basically what Street Smarts becomes. And if they get it right, well, then the contestants in studio get $100. It is a cheap game show. I get it. $5,000 is game show minimum back in the 90s, and this is less than that. But I think it's actually okay because it's not really played for money. It's kind of played more for laughs. So when you think of the things like Funny You Should Ask, it's kind of okay that this is in the low hundreds. This is a comedy show more than it is a game show. Okay, so there are three questions in this round. And each of the contestants locks in one of the three savants they think has it. One is identified by a red, one is yellow, the other green. Like traffic lights. This is all street stop. The Street Smarts is all themed around traffic lights. So there's stop signs, yield sign. It kind of reminds me, if you don't know Jack the Ride, probably because of that font, that municipal waste font. It looks like when you're going in, when you're driving down the street and you know there's the one that's in the manhole cover, basically one of those. So in round one, there's three questions, and they are all asked to the same people, and you just figure out who knew it, and one of them always got it right. So it's not like a trick where none of them got it right, haha, screw you. It is maybe one got it right, two got it right, or all three. It's most of the time one or two. And then what happens after that round of who knew it? And it's all played for laughs, and we cut through some of the videos if someone gave a really funny wrong answer. We go into round two. With round two, instead of who knew it, we now call it who blew it. And we go from three contestants in the round, oh, sorry, three savants in the round, to two savants per question. Now, in this round, both the contestants choose between two of the savants, and one of them guaranteed got it wrong. You have to figure out who blew the question, who didn't get the answer right. And if they were right in their prediction, they would get $200. With three questions, that's an extra $600 plus the $300. But now there's a twist. Akin to You Don't Know Jack's Screw is something called the dunce cap. If at any point during this round, there's a question that Frank Nicotero tells the contestants, we asked them, what band did Beyonce join before going solo? You can smash the button and a big horn, like a big car alarm goes off, like, bow, bow, and suddenly the dunce cap is in play. The dunce cap is given to the opposing player. If the opposing player gets the correct answer, they get $200 and the dunce cap goes back to the person who pushed the button. If they get dunced and they get the question wrong, the person who pushed the dunce cap gets the $200 themselves. This is a really smart idea because it actually forces cash to be thrown even if incorrect presses were used. So really, it's kind of like free money in this game. which, if I just want to throw this out here, and I don't want to foreshadow this, given the game could end with $0, is kind of like a good idea to have at least some money in this game. All right, so after round two, the Who Knew It round, which is just with two of the savants, and it always rotates. One of the three is always left out. So each one of them is omitted in this game, which I find really endearing. So it's like, okay, everyone has a fair shot to have TV time, and that's good. We go to the final round. Actually, it's not really the final round. It's the third round, but it's I call the third round the main Street Smarts round, called Pick Your Pony. You get the little noise. And in this round, each of the contestants picks one of the three to play with in this round. And that is, and this is what makes it so crucial. It's, we've already seen what these savants have been telling you, what their knowledge is, what they know, what they don't know. You already have a feeling or reading for these contestants with the savants. So now, which one of these three do you feel most comfortable playing with in this round? And they each get to pick one of the three. Whoever is trailing, as in last place, gets first dibs at a pony, which is a savant. And then the other, the leader, gets the choice of the remaining two. One of them is just thrown out of the round, but don't worry, if they say something funny, it'll be in the end credits. So we go back and forth. Now, there's three questions per each of these players, and all they have to do is not do anything other than predict whether they got the answer right or wrong. So we asked him, Benjamin Franklin was what president of the United States? So you can say he wasn't a president of the United States. It's a trick question. And you can say right or wrong. And that becomes the game. If your prediction was correct, $300, meaning $900, is up for grabs in this round. But at any point, one of the six questions can be brought up, and you can use that dunce cap again. The dunce cap is in play for round three for $300, meaning even on a dunces, about $200, $300, or $500 could be thrown around like just out of nowhere, which is really fun if you think about it. So, after three questions per contestant, we go on to one winner-take-all question. It is the wager of death. The wager of death. So, it all comes down to this. I know it's not like Jeopardy where they're in like thousands and thousands of dollars. You gotta think this is a cheap game show. So it's more like $1,100 versus $800 or $700 versus $500. It's really low stakes. So they get to choose one of the three savants. They get told the question. Then they have to pick the savant, right or wrong, and how much money. Three parts. And that becomes the game. So in round one, it was like this weird flipbook thing, like a remote control. In seasons two onwards, it was this really cool button effect and cool graphic package that I kind of liked. So what happens is it's one final question. And it's savant, right, wrong, how much? So if you have real faith in someone, I think Joey got it right, and I'm putting all of my money. Oh, I think Dean got it wrong, and I'm putting up $100. That would be the wager. Now, it doesn't have to be $100 increments. You could wager like $69 or $420, $666, ooh-hoo. $1, ooh-hoo-hoo. So it becomes a real fun game to show. So what happens is, the wager of death is the final winner take all question. Whoever has the most money after this question gets to keep the money. The other one goes home with nothing. Probably a Street Smarts t-shirt, who are we kidding? And that's it. And that's how the game show works. Then we, the winning contestant hugs Frank Nicotero. We'll be back next time. The end credits shows some questions that they didn't get to show. So it's, none of the footage really gets some of the footage that we haven't seen gets purposely aired in the end credits, so there's more further laughs in the game, which I find also endearing. So they never really waste any of the questions or jokes in the game. It seems very meticulous what gets aired when and where. So that, to me, is what makes this game show kind of clever and smart. Now, here's the mathematics. So there's three questions in the first round worth $100 each. That means $300. In round two, it's $200 each, meaning that it's going to be $600. But if you throw in the extra dunce cap, that's $800, meaning you will have $1,100. In the dunce cap round, you have $300 per each of your three, which makes it another $900. But we don't stop there because there's an extra $300, meaning it's $1,200 in round three. So the $1,200 plus the three plus nine plus 11. 11 plus 13 means 24, which means, no, it's 23. So it'd be $4,600. $4,600 is your top price if you play a perfect game. There is no bump it up to 5,000 if you play a perfect game. None of that. It really is just 4,300 because that's the most we can have in this budget. And that's it. And then, of course, hey, check out streetsmarts.tv for more information. This was the 2000s. You'll see a lot of bowling shirts, a lot of man show references, a lot of drunk people. But it was fun. To me, it is kind of a really cute college-age prediction-based game show. And to me, I kind of like that about Street Smarts. I love Frank Nicotero in this show because he kind of comes off like a Jimmy Kimmel, like a, just an everyman kind of happy guy, ready to be here, ready to be in Vegas, ready to talk to people. He just wants to get to know people, and he never really goes, "You idiot." He never insults any of the savants or any of the contestants. That's the strangest thing. Like, you would think a show that's all about, look at this idiot that got the question wrong, Frank would be heckling the shit out of these people because you're a comedian and this is what you do. Like, look at this dumbass. He doesn't know where Times Square is. What? Everyone knows it's New York. Woo-hoo. No, Frank Nicotero doesn't do that. He just plays along with improv, like, oh, Times Square is in London. I mean, yeah, because Big Ben, right? That's right. Yeah. And he just plays along with improv, and I think that's kind of cute, and that's kind of wholesome. And I think that that's something that a lot of people take for granted, especially when it came to Man on the Street, Look at People Being Idiots shows. Well, Street Smarts is iconic, and I mean, like, yes, jaywalking has done that, and yes, there is going to be You Bet Your Life, which is trying to be similar to that. Street Smarts, I think, nailed it, because the questions were honest trivia questions. The people who were the servants, even if they were drunk or entertainers or clearly had somewhere else to go, had a good time. They were kind of there. They knew what they were getting themselves into. It wasn't like laugh at my expense. It seems like if they got an answer wrong, they would just kind of like, yeah, I don't know this, but let's just joke about this. And it was kind of earnest and heartfelt in a way that I don't think a lot of people noticed that, because this was in the 2000s. 2000s game shows was a dark period for game shows. I'm going to keep talking about this because to me, I don't think a lot of people understand. When it came to 2000, that 2001, 2002, 2003 era of television, it was the kind of the Woodstock 99, Limp Bizkit, Fuck Your Feeling Snowflake, adolescent angry white guy who wants to beat the shit out of each other for laughs. And it was just horrendous television. Most game shows kind of got canceled or never got picked up because there was no need for that, unless it was a new, like a reboot of Truth or Consequences with Oh No Snakes and Spiders, which they thankfully never picked up. It wasn't a dare show. I mean, like, closest it was maybe like Distraction, but I don't know. Street Smarts to me was an earnest show, because in this world of, like, drunk college kids and, like, they don't know any better and TV is on, what's on Street Smarts, okay, let's watch it. It was a show that knew it was irrelevant because the questions were silly. They had the drunk people on. They had really fun, outrageous contestants who were just there to have fun for half an hour. And it was all played for laughs. It was all jokes, but never at the expense of the people. It was always like, I don't think Brittany got it right, so I think she got it wrong. That would basically be it. Like, and it's always the reasons are really silly. The only time there's ever an expense at a contestant or savant was during the dunce round, and that's because the contestant hits the dunce and throws it at the player, and even then, it's just wearing a hat. That's not really too life-threatening. It's just a silly hat. So, 2000s game shows, they were Edgelord Chrome, or Impact Font, or everything had like a computer scoreboard, which, I mean, this had a computer scoreboard too. It's not... But it was really just outdated, even at the time. It just felt cheap. And Street Smarts, it felt cheap. It was a cheap game show. But where it had cheapness, it had heart. And I think that is something that I wanted to talk about when it came to Street Smarts. At a time when game shows were either $5,000 cable game shows, or we got if you're going to be a game show, it's a stunt show for $50,000 like Fear Factor, or it was a $1 million millionaire game show or millionaire clone like Winning Lines, you had to throw all this huge money at it, or it was just all about shock and awe. Shock and awe is what sells this. And here's a show where pretty much someone could make maybe $1,800, and it's like, that's not even going to cover rent in Los Angeles. But at least you're having a good time. That is what this show was. It, to me, that is what makes a good game show. Most of the time, people throw money at it and hope that engages an audience. A lot of times, people want to recalibrate a game show and say, well, if it was $100,000, maybe more people will watch it. If it was $1 million password, people will watch it. And here's a game show where it's like, we don't have the money. We kind of just hired college students to film this with a little audio producer, and that's it. We paid them in like $100 a day. That was it. We really had a show budget of maybe like $2,000. And this is what we came up with. And I mean, besides it showed, also showed that, like, well, it actually worked as a format. It's not that complicated to explain. Round one, who knew it? Round two, who blew it? Which of the savants you want to pick as your pony? And then the wager of death. That's the four rounds. It's simplistic. Each of the scores made sense because it goes 100 to 200 to 300. So at no point is there really there is no like golden snitch, screw you part of the game. Until it's mathematically impossible for the player to catch up. And even then, they still do the wager of death if they have money. And even then, I have seen people just go, well, it's only like $800, so I might as well just go all in. It doesn't matter to me. So it becomes just like, well, go big or go home. It's just $800, like Vegas roulette gambling. Like, it's okay to risk $800, double or nothing. If it was like $80,000, that might be a different story. And to me, I think that is what made this show kind of also stand out in a way, is people were willing to take bigger risks with wagers, and people didn't care because only one of the two would win money, and even then it was only like a few $100. So I'm going to just stretch this even more because of a simplistic game design. Simplistic production, just record people, use those tapes, predict if they got it right or wrong. That is all it is. Simplicity as finest. There are still game shows today, GSN has them all the time, where it's like a $10,000 cash prize and a consolation prize of $2,000, and that's it. And they can't even figure out the basic blocks of a game, because there's always like a third round, catch-up round, that almost is game-breaking, making almost the entirety of the first round useless. With something like Street Smarts, you can watch all the parts and have fun. Because when you're sitting there, You could play along and say, I think they got it right or wrong. I think so-and-so got it right. You can play along with that because it's just predictions. At the second part, you also have this element of, well, it's trivia. Everyone should get this question right. And you can play along as a savant in your own home because they're telling you the questions. On a third level, it's the ability to figure out the game rules. They're very simple. For a lot of modern game shows, it's the same game play. First round single, and double the points in round two. Round three is a catch-up. Round four is the $10,000 final. That's GSN most of the time these days. And while round three is a bit of a catch-up round for $300, that's not the end game. The end game is the wager of death. And Frank Nicotero is so casual about this, so easygoing, speeds through this game that I think what people forget, and this is what I think is so engaging and enjoyable about this show, Frank Nicotero was like a great host for this. A lot of times he does other game shows, and we'll get to those whenever they pop up. But for Frank Nicotero on this show, every joke, even if it's like, oh, he got it wrong, oh well, it's okay. It's you get your one little chuckle, you get your Frank Nicotero gag in there, and then you move on. The show never stops. It is like you're on a ride with Frank Nicotero. There is never a beat where the show goes to a crash. And we have to stop everything for this because it's just beat, question, video, beat, guess, prediction. It just fast, it's so fast paced that you can't like just stop watching it because it just keeps going fast and fast in a way that I don't think a lot of people understand here. This show is a half hour game show and it goes through 13 questions. And that doesn't include who knew it, who blew it. Then that'll be 20-something questions. And that's not including whatever three questions they ask the person you didn't pick and pick your pony. And it doesn't include, like, the gag video from someone who didn't get picked in the wager of death. It just becomes this really fun thing where it is just question, 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 when we come back. Question, 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 when we come back. Question, 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 when we come back. Wager a dev. It becomes like a really engaging format. And not a lot of game shows seem to figure that out. They have pacing issues. They want to have like the what would you do if you won the money part of the show. When really, like, whenever Frank did in, like, the interview, it was kind of like, oh, you're a waitress. So do they tip you often? Not really. Yep, figured. All right, and you are a lifeguard at the beach, in Ventura Beach. So let me ask you, what was the strangest thing you ever had to rescue? I had to rescue a lady, and she couldn't swim, and she was really big. Oh, dear. Well, that's okay. Let's go back to the game. We're going to go, you knew and who blew it. And that becomes, like, part of the game. Like, you never get, like, the whole sob story. You get half a Jeopardy anecdote. And all of the contestants are really good for the show. Because, you know, when it comes to street smarts, it feels like a lot of game shows, there's contestants built for a certain show. And Street Smart seems like a perfect show where if you wanted to be a savant, you just had to be a weird character on the street that everyone knew. And if you were a contestant, you just had to be the funny guy at work or the really like engaging waiter or waitress who loves to read people. Because that would be it. And most of the time, if you were funny, you would be almost picked on the show because most of the time laughs were said by contestants. They were said by Frank. They were said by the savants themselves. Almost at no point during the show is there serious moments. It's all silly and fun and clever and nice. The closest I can think of that in current day game shows is maybe Funny You Should Ask. And even then, those gags are pre-written in advance. With Street Smarts, it's not pre-written. The questions were pre-written, but Frank Nicotero is a really good improviser. The savants that they ask are really entertaining and engaging and likable. The contestants, they always have a snide remark as well sometimes. And that, to me, is what makes a show so fun. Despite a low budget, it has heart to it, which is something you rarely see. Yes, it's just three monitors and three faces and just a graphics package. And it just looks like a blurry traffic street light thing. But it has heart. And that's really sometimes all you need in a game show. And I have to point this out because I don't think a lot of people see that in the game show fandom or anything. Sometimes it's not about the money. It's not about the storytelling. Sometimes a game show could just be entertainment. And Street Smarts is a pure entertainment comedy game show. Frank Nicotero, in his story of going from a game show PA guy to a writer to a researcher to being a warm-up guy to just having this show fall in his lap, is an inspirational story that should be celebrated. Of course, after 2005, Street Smarts did come to an end. I don't know why that would be, other than big money game shows or just distributions didn't want it anymore, or some error involving Warner Brothers, or Frank Nicotero wanting more money, or audiences went down because of the $100,000 tournament champions. Yeah, they had tournament champions for $100,000. They basically had like a 64-person tournament, and whoever got it right would win. So season 5, to celebrate, they had a $100,000 tournament. If you won the game, you had the option. Keep your like $1,300 or give it back for a spot in the Tournament of Champions. The 32 would become 16, would become 8, would become 4 to our final 2 until one takes $100,000. That would be Street Smarts. Now, I just want to point this out here, as I have said time and time again, tournaments kill game shows. Sorry, I have to say that again. Tournaments kill game shows. That happened with Double Dare, and that happened with Street Smarts. I think that could have been the death blow for Street Smarts, and then get season 5. However, and there was even like good theme weeks. Like there's one called Revenge Week, where they got some of the savants from previous episodes to be contestants in the main game. And I always thought that was kind of like a cool idea to have like them from the outside looking in. Now they're the ones doing it. And I always thought that was kind of like a clever idea as well when it came to this show. And they even had a lot of celebrity specials. There was one that was game show themed with Mark DiCarlo. And I think there was also one with wrestlers. I think China was one of the contestants, once against Diamond Dallas Page. So it was such a silly show. And Frank Nicotero, I got to be honest, he's in a lot of shit, like a lot of bad shows. He was in Faux Pas. He was the comedy guy over game shows. He was a contestant in Ultimate Fan League. Frank Nicotero later goes on to do things like Pontoon Payday and Win, Lose, or Pawn, and The Game of Life. He's basically seen as like an afterthought of game shows. As much as he's a talented on Street Smarts, he gets the rough shows. I think the thing is, though, after watching so many episodes of Street Smarts, which, by the way, I should just give a shout out to the Street Smarts production team. They put out early episodes. I think now they're on season 2 at this point of Street Smarts on YouTube. They actually have Street Smarts available on YouTube. So the YouTube has all the episodes. Like the production team is distributing it through YouTube. And I think that's a really cool way for people to rewatch Street Smarts. I don't know if it's going to be on Pluto TV or Vudu or any of these other, was it Tubi? Any of these other distribution places. But please go out of your way to watch this show because it's funny, it's engaging, it's silly. It is a bit risque because you are dealing with like college age contestants and college age savants, and they're very outrageous. But it is such a feel good show that I think we rarely get those in game shows, especially a show that's syndicated. So it's like 5 nights a week, this weird game show. And it's so silly and nice and funny, and you just see Frank Nicotero at the top of his game. And I think that was kind of one of the coolest things about this show. It's just how engaged everything is. And I think we kind of take that for granted in modern game shows. I think this show could easily be replicated today, especially in a YouTube market. But it's a strange marketplace. I think that's the only issue, is what causes this is syndication. People pick this show up. Is this really worthy of a pickup deal? I think it is. It's such a silly show for a modern day 2021 audience. I think there's a bit of relevance, but still very silly. I think it's kind of one of those things where when you look at game shows post 2000, like that Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader era of game shows, where being wrong means you lose like hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is a show where if you get wrong, whatever. Look, this is just for laughs. I'm just glad you got paid. That's what makes this show good. I think every one of the savants got paid. And I think, of course, whoever's the winning contestant got paid. Frank obviously got paid. Production got paid. But I should also point out that a lot of people in the game show industry worked on the show. Scott St. John, who many people know from Deal or No Deal and is one of those iconic faces of modern game shows, worked on Street Smarts. Rich DiPiero, who does direction on all sorts of game shows, also did Street Smarts. Like, there is so many faces in the world of game shows you can link to this one game show. And it shows, because when you see the work on later game shows, they're pretty good at what they do. Frank Nicotero, as much as I like him, in this, not so much. However, I will say he is the closest thing we got to a Ray Combs of today. When it came to Family Feud, I think a lot of people will say Steve Harvey was the best show, was the best host. They might say Dawson. Others would say Ray Combs. Ray Combs was the best host of Family Feud. We don't really have a Ray Combs, but Frank Nicotero is the closest you can get to a Ray Combs type. He was a warm-up guy. He's a comedian. He was a game show host. All sorts of those things kind of work together. And when you see him perform on Street Smarts or in other like shows like on stage, especially nowadays, 2021, I know audiences, game shows are not really existing yet, but they're coming back. See Frank Nicotero engage with an audience, and you will see the closest you can get to a Ray Combs. And I think you just have to give him a right game show, and he will knock it out of the park. He's been getting a lot of stinkers. I think that perfect game show was the one he originally hosted, Street Smarts. I think Street Smarts was a perfect vessel for him, and I think if you bring back Street Smarts, bring back Frank Nicotero, because he nailed it. And I think that is the kind of thing you need to do. If you want to bring back Street Smarts, you need Frank Nicotero to be the host. I don't normally say that because I think you can always do a fresh vision of the show. But Frank was Street Smarts, and I think the show could still hold up today. And I think just secretly here, I think the reason the Street Smarts episodes are going up is because they're making a pitch to reboot Street Smarts for syndication for later this fall or 2022. That's just my guess. I'm pulling this out of my ass. But Street Smarts is such a great game show. The idea of just simplicity in, here's three randos, which one of them got it right? Now we're going to play with two randos, which one of them got the answer wrong? Now we're going to play with one of yours. Pick the player you want. Did they get it right or wrong? That becomes Street Smarts. And it's so simple and so delicate. Because money goes up 1, 2, 3, but the amount of savants in a round goes down from 3 to 2 to 1. The wager of death is played silly because it's like the wager of death. Like, you're about to die if you get the question wrong, but in reality, you're only going to lose maybe $400. It's not even your real money. And that's the really silly part about Street Smarts. It's a game that I think is a real bingeable game show, and not a lot of people understand that. Street Smarts is a feel-good, funny game show that has so much to give. And I'm pro Street Smarts. I'm pro a Street Smarts revival. I don't even think you need to do anything different. Even keep the values at 100, 200, 300. Even if you're giving away a few hundred bucks, you're still on par with Funny You Should Ask. And I think between the two, I would rather watch Street Smarts than a few syndicated shows. And I'm not going to name names here. I've already done, I don't think I've done 25, I've done 25 words or less. We've done Funny You Should Ask. Like, that is kind of where we go with this. And I think that is what I like about this in so many ways. So, in conclusion, do a self-service. Go to YouTube, find Street Smarts, and watch an episode. They're 20 minutes long. I know it's a little bit longer than this episode, but you will enjoy it. I mean, I'm not saying you will. I don't know you, dear Patreon donator. But it is a perfect mix of silly and smart and funny. And in that world of, like, slur jokes and horrendous things happening to people and just mean-spirited things, it's a show that knew a college age but still had the sensibilities to go from 1 a.m. to, like, 7 in primetime spot, like a 7, 6:30 spot. It could play in either way. At one point, I remember seeing Street Smarts on Game Show Network, and I think it was only like one season, and they dropped it. And I felt really bad because I liked it. Most of the time I saw Street Smarts, it was on at night. Usually that was my good night game show, because at a time when I was a kid, you know, it was like 2002, 2003, 2004. I watched G4. I watched Nickelodeon Gas. I watched Game Show Network. So I knew all those different formats and game shows. But whenever, like, Street Smarts came on, because it was like 1 a.m., that was my cue to probably go lie down, go to bed, and get some sleep, because that was it. There was rarely YouTube. There was rarely a way to watch game shows on the internet. So it was all done on television or illegally pirating things on a torrent site. But so Street Smarts was that one vessel for me to watch and go, oh, that's a funny, cute game show. Okay, I'm going to go to sleep. Usually I fell asleep right before Wager of Death because it was on at 1 a.m. But I knew that was the cue to go to sleep. And I liked it. I liked it a lot. And that's why I think Street Smarts is such a fun game show. I think this is a game show that definitely holds up. I know, maybe some of the, like, outrageous outfits and personalities and maybe some of the things they might say might not hold up. I haven't seen every episode, but the ones I have seen are very nice and feel good and funny. Like, it's just people just celebrating winning $800, and that's it. Like, okay, sure. Even back then, that was not, like, enough for a PlayStation, but sure, have fun with that. Because when it came to a lot of game shows, like, if it's not the budget, it has to be the contestants and just how laid back and entertaining it is. If you can't win them with the stakes of money, win them over with entertainment, and Street Smarts was full of it. Full of engaging people, a very funny host, really good contestants, really great savants, and by golly, I still like it to this day. So that's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you so much for donating to this Patreon. I don't have any fun facts. Other than they probably tried to pitch bringing back Street Smarts a few times in themed episodes. But that's it. In conclusion, please check out Street Smarts. Oh, wow, they even have the old website. StreetSmartsTV.WarnerBrothers.com. Even though they didn't film at Warner Brothers lot, they have it. This week, Monday. Oh, and they have, like, little videos. I didn't see this before. Play minigame. I don't think I can because it's a Flash player and it's no longer supported. But let me read this. Oh, I can email the host and meet the host. Let's see. What is the email the host? What can I email Frank Nicotero? I'm friends with him on he's Street Smarts Guy at WB.com. So hey guys, if you wanted to send him an email, Street Smarts Guy at Oh, I'm saving that image of Frank Nicotero in a bowling shirt. Meet the host. All right, here we go. Let me read off show information in Frank Nicotero's official bio here. Frank Nicotero's persistent hard work and unique comedic talents are effortlessly displayed on Streets Smarts. Streets Smarts. They couldn't even get their own TV show title right. God damn it. Streets Smarts, where he juggles his duties as the in-studio host and with traveling across the country as the series field reporter looking for people to show off their street smarts. Born in Pittsburgh, the self-proclaimed trivia junkie grew up watching Johnny Carson and David Letterman, aspiring to follow in their footsteps. His comedic ambition was sparked at an early age and followed him through high school, where he was voted class clown 3 years in a row. Following graduation, Nicotero enrolled in Pittsburgh's Duquesne University. However, his desire to become a comedian outweighed his desire to study, where he dropped out of college after one semester to pursue his childhood dream. Luxon found Nicotero, and on May 4th, 1988, he landed his first stand-up gig at Pittsburgh's Funny Bone Comedy Store. Shortly after, he hit the road, touring college circuits and appearing in concert with the likes of Drew Carey, Adam Sandler, and Rob Schneider. In the past 12 years, Nicotero has performed stand-up comedy at more than 300 colleges and clubs. In 1996, during a visit to Los Angeles, Nicotero scored a spot on Wink Martindale's Debt and won $14,000. He later appeared on the Fox Sports trivia game, The Ultimate Fan League, where he won $10,000 in prizes. In that same year, he was approached to write for Peer Pressure and Outrageous, and later wrote and produced Game World and Faux Pas for the Game Show Network. What the fuck was Game World? I gotta check this out. What the hell was Game World? Oh, was Game World that, Game World was a short-lived clip show that showed highlights of current game shows from around the world. Dave Nemeth was the host. It aired 1996 to 1997. So it was... Hey, guys, you ever see Family Fortunes? All right. It was during Faux Pas that Nicotero first met Scott St. John, the executive producer of Street Smarts, in Change of Heart. In summer 1999, Nicotero was approached by St. John regarding Street Smarts, and in February 2000, production began. Since then, Nicotero has traveled across country, hitting the streets of such cities as Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Dallas, New Orleans, Boston, Philadelphia, Denver, San Francisco, and Las Vegas, to name a few. I couldn't imagine a better show for me at a better time in my career than this, says Nicotero. It gets me out on the field, interviewing people, improvising, being funny, and coming back and showing these clips on the show. It's the perfect combination of emceeing a comedy show and doing stand-up. In addition to stand-up, he's appeared on Make Me Laugh, Comedy on the Road, and in the 1997 feature film Wes Craven Presents Wishmaster. He has also produced for MTV's The Cut and written for the Fox Family Channel. Wow, this guy's busy. Anyway, let's read this final part of the show, then we'll call it. Show info. Combine the best elements of people watching in a classic game show. Add a hip, cutting-edge attitude, and you've got Street Smarts, a brand new game show from Scott St. John, the creator and executive producer of the hit relationship series Change of Heart. Street Smarts takes the game genre to another level, blending stand-up comedy, improvisation, and game show interaction. Street Smarts is a fast-paced, multi-round game in which two contestants face off to determine which of them can best predict the answers given by everyday people on the streets of America who have agreed to answer a series of questions posed by host Frank Nicotero. In Street Smarts, it doesn't always matter what you know, but what you think other people will know. Nicotero and his camera crew hit the streets from around the country looking for people to show off their street smarts. From CEOs to bodybuilders, bank tellers to brain surgeons, people are asked pop culture trivia questions and their responses are videotaped. The in-studio contestants watch this video and try to determine which of the street smarts players knows their stuff and which hasn't got a clue. As they move through the preliminary rounds, who knew it and who blew it, and pick your pony, contestants earn cash to bet in the final round, the wager of death. As the game progresses, contestants learn that you can't always judge a book by its cover, and that stereotypes are often misleading. Street Smarts is produced by Dawn Syndicated Productions in association with Entertain the Brutes and Telepictures Productions. There's a GIF image of the Gotham Girls Flash cartoon, a Looney Tunes banner, Chuck Jones's Timberwolf, an interview with Sting in the Warner Brothers live concert series, and Kung Fu in 3D. Click now. Oh, wow. Remember Kung Fu? That's now a reboot on CW. Well, that's fascinating stuff. Well, that's how Street Sports works. All right. Yeah, check out YouTube. Thank you for Patreon donations. Street Smarts. Streets Smarts. Oh, well. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for all your help. And if you have a game show you want me to talk about, please let me know in the comments. Until next time, big smooch. Mwah!
What is the name of the plane that carries the President of the United States?
The Secret Service plane.
The Secret Service plane? That's what they call it?
Yeah.
What's the name of the plane that carries the President of the United States?
American Airlines.
American Airlines. Yeah. I think it's Air Force One, actually.
I knew that.
His own little plane.
I thought that was the movie.